For most of my life, I had no idea that my body, my pleasure, my sensuality, my eroticism are my own. I had no idea that I had the right to my own body. I had no idea that my pleasure and my turn on and my arousal are sacred and are, in fact, healing modalities. And so for most of my life, I lived from the head up, completely disconnected from my sensations and my body because it didn't feel safe to go there. And if you're anything like me and you have this desire to live a life that is embodied, that is pleasurable, that is connected, that is liberated in your true authentic expression and experiencing deeper levels of intimacy with yourself, with the world, and with the people around you, then I have something very special for you. And I would love to invite you to join us on March 10th in New York City, if you're in the area, for an in-person one-day retreat. This is an intensive called Foundations of Full Body Pleasure, Awakening the Sensuous Self. And this is for you if you want to expand your capacity for exquisite, delicious pleasure, audacious sensuality, deepened self-love and self-connection, and soul-level intimacy by establishing an embodied sense of inner safety, connection, and trust. This one-day intensive is a radical celebration and reclamation of your sensuous, erotic self and your body. Together in community, we're going to learn how to use our built-in tools of breath, sound, movement, touch, and awareness to cultivate within ourselves all of the things that we're subconsciously grasping for externally. We're going to harness that from within so you can unleash your sensual nature, claim your true desires, voice your boundaries and your yes and your no, and begin to rewire your nervous system to associate your pleasure, sexuality, and intimacy with a sense of safety, love, celebration, and belonging. This immersion is a training ground for how you most want to show up throughout your whole life, your intimacy, and your relationships. This transformative event is happening on the Pisces super new moon, and I cannot be more excited. So if you want to join us, you can head to the show notes and you'll find the link there, or you can go directly to bloomwithnadine.com/events to claim your ticket now. I hope to see you inside. Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is, the one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hi, sensuous fam. Oh, I feel so excited and just grateful to be sitting here recording this intro to my podcast because I fucking love podcasting so much. And one of the reasons why I love it is because it's audio only and you can't see me right now. And I'm sitting here in my matching two-piece fleece leopard pajamas and fucking killing it. So that's the vibe that I'm coming here with today. And before we go into the episode, I feel really called to share this story with you. So there is a very special, important, beautiful three-year-old in my life. And earlier this week, he ran up to me and he was like, "Nadine, what is your favorite thing in the world?" And I was like, "Oh my God, I can only pick one thing." Ah. And he was like, "Yes, just pick one thing." So I thought about it and I was like, nature. I think nature is my favorite thing in the whole world. And he goes, "Okay." and then walks away. And then a few minutes later, he runs up to me with so much pride, enthusiasm, excitement, and like extends his arm out to me. And he's like, "Nadine, look, I made you nature." And in his hand is this like intricately mashed up ball of blue Play-Doh. And he was like, "I made you nature." And my heart just melted and exploded at the same time. Oh my God, it was such a precious moment. And I want to share this story with you for a few things, just because that moment reconnected me to just the pure innocence and love and imagination and creativity and total uninhibited expression of self and love of a kid, and how I truly believe and might even say I know that that exists within all of us. And as we continue on through our lives, we tend to build up more and more and more layers of contraction, rigidity, self-protection mechanisms, and we cut ourselves off from the huge oceanic amount of love and just expression that exists within us. Like, there wasn't a single moment in that interaction where this little boy was like, "Oh my God, what is she gonna think? Is this too much? Is this weird?" No, he comes up to me and asks me pretty much like, "What is your favorite thing in the entire world so that I can make it for you as a token of my love?" And I feel like as adults, we tend to like get really boring in relationships. Like, what would it look like to play with how you show affection, appreciation, gratitude, love, admiration for the people in your life? And I hope this serves just as a reminder to do something fun, do something special, do something loving to express how important the people in your life are to you. So many of us overanalyze how we express ourselves, and especially how we express our love to other people, in fear of how it's going to be received. Like, oh, what if it's too much? What if this is weird? What if it's not reciprocated? What if I got rejected or judged or ostracized or da-da-da-da-da? Like all of these what-if scenarios. So a what-if scenario that I want to point right back to you is, what if you allowed your expression of love, the act of love, the verb of loving, what if that was enough to be satisfying and fulfilling and nourishing to you, instead of you being loving only being worth it if it's received by the other person in a certain way? And yes, of course, we're all human, and it feels freaking incredible when our love is met with receptivity and openness and enthusiasm and just as much love. But what if the act of loving was worth it, and the point of it was just the act itself, because it's who you are, because it's your essence, because it's your authentic truth, and you're overflowing with this love within you, and it just feels natural, and as if it no longer has to be a strategy in order to get something or obtain something or get to a certain goal, outcome, destination, but just showing love because you feel that you are love itself. And no matter what you've been through, no matter your current situation or how you currently relate to yourself or view yourself, I know there is a fiercely, wildly loving being within you, and that that is your essence. And even if you haven't experienced the depth of intimacy and love with another person or with yourself, I know that love, that like overflowing love and expression, is within you, because it's within all of us. And it's a matter of allowing ourselves to feel safe and secure within ourselves, and to soften and relax the barriers around our heart so that we can finally freely express that love once again. So this is a permission slip and a reminder to stop playing it cool, to stop holding back, to stop silencing and muzzling yourself and downplaying your true feelings and how you really want to express yourself. And so, with all of this being said, the very special guest that I have on today's episode so deeply and beautifully embodies exactly this: expression, love, radiance, vibrancy, and this magnetic, creative expression that you're going to experience as you hear her speak. But her name is Jamila Nuruddin. I met her in Costa Rica during the most recent time that I was living there last year.
and she is a trauma-certified energy worker who also holds certifications in healing intergenerational and racial trauma through breathwork. Her background includes extensive training in mindfulness, shamanic, and transcendental meditations, and she's also trained with West African priestesses in ancient lunar manifestation techniques. She's received her certification in integrative somatic trauma therapy training and uses this to help her clients transmute heavy emotions. Jamila is one of a few hundred people in the world to become a certified Kundalini activation facilitator. She was taught to transmit raw Kundalini life force energy directly from Venant Wang, the creator of Kundalini activation process. Along with Kundalini life force, Jamila also transmits the most native state of non-dual awareness, which cultivates a deep experience of oneness with all things. Jamila's unique background blends to create a powerful alchemy of grounding and healing energy, and this connects her clients to their innate divinity, inner wisdom, and profound intuition. Some of the things that you're going to hear us dive into in this conversation are, of course, Kundalini activation process and the path of surrender, how to sense and cultivate your connection with energy, your body's innate intelligence to know how to heal and how to release trauma and stagnant energy, the fear of letting go of control, connecting with your ancestors, how to integrate big life experiences or spiritual awakenings and energy activations. We talked about manifestation, somatic trauma healing, and claiming what you actually, truly, really, really want without feeling guilty for it. And before we go into this episode, I also want to mention that the next round of my signature online group immersion, Erotic Revival, is going to be launching very soon. So if you're interested in a deep dive, comprehensive journey into your sexuality, into your somatic healing, and bringing to life your erotic aliveness, your sensuality, your orgasm, your pleasure, and a really stable, secure, grounded, confident sense of self, then definitely make sure you add yourself to the waitlist so that you're notified when the doors officially open. So you can go to bloomwithnadine.com/erotic revival to make sure you're on the waitlist. Applications are going to be opening for enrollment very soon, so make sure you keep your eyes peeled and get yourself on the waitlist. And without further ado, here is today's beautiful special episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy. I'm sitting here on Zoom with such a beautiful, vibrant being. And right when I met her in Costa Rica, like her aliveness and vitality and joy and sense of like radiance and purpose is just so tangible. And I knew that I wanted to ask her on the show and just share her potent magic and medicine with you all. So thank you so much, Jamila, for coming on.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Likewise, when I met you, actually before I met you, I read a post in a chat that I was just like, this woman is in her skin. This woman is like comfortable with who she is and is on a path that I want to go along with too. You know, like just like we're both, I just felt like you're forging ahead. You're really one of the few people that I can see that's actually moving the needle. You know what I mean? Because you're pushing it from a place that's sustainable and organic and feminine and beautiful. And so I was immediately like, yeah, this person needs to be in my world. And I'm really flattered when you asked me onto the show. So thank you so much for having me. It's such a gift to speak with you, truly.
My pleasure. Wow. Thank you for that reflection. And I can't wait to see like how our paths continue to weave and cross as time goes on, which I know they will. But there's so many different topics that I want to dive into with you. But the first one that I think a lot of people will be really curious about is your journey with CAP, which is Kundalini activation process. Could you tell us a little bit about what is Kundalini? What is Kundalini activation process? And maybe like, how did this modality and this energy find you?
Ooh, all very
big question.
I know, really good questions. The modality found me like most things do, or a lot of wonderful things do, just in the search of deeper meaning of life and of my own healing. I think part of growing up is realizing how much unhealed trauma not only you have, but also your family, your extended family, society, and kind of coming to terms with that and realizing that you, if you want to, you can take things on to process that. And so pretty early on in life, I'd say around 18, was when I first got my first certification, which was a yoga certification, which I barely used. I did it again, just more to get into my body. That's when I really first started having like really strong body mind connections outside of artistic spaces. I'd done that a lot through theater and dance, but never just on a day to day, like in a spiritual practice. And that opened up all these gateways to breath work and ancestral work. And I trained with these amazing Yoruba, West African priestesses with manifestation. I got really into like manifesting and NLP and all these different things. But it wasn't until I found CAP that I truly felt like I found something that kind of inhabited all of those spaces simultaneously. And CAP is an acronym. It stands for Kundalini Activation Process. And yeah, Kundalini is just a really fancy word for life force. It's ancient. It's so ancient that there are many different words and even descriptions of it. There's even debate about, you know, certain schools, I guess, kind of describe it in one way, and then other schools have a broader definition of it, but it's life force. It's the same thing as qi in Chinese medicine or ashe in West African spirituality. Even prana, pranic energy, is contained within kundalini energy, and it's old, and everybody has it. And even for the non-spiritual, I always like to give an example too of just like people who might just be, you know, really left, like I don't know, left brain or just not really woo-woo at all. I draw the example of if you've ever been in a room and your back is to the door and somebody comes in and they don't make any noise, but you can just feel that somebody came into the room. I always think that's a great example of sensing someone's life force, of sensing your own life force energy. And it's yeah, it's something that is it's very, very powerful. And a lot of people think of Kundalini and think of Kundalini yoga. And that is one place where you can move your kundalini. There's lots of really great will-based practices that do that, like Tai Chi, Qigong, Tantra. Like a lot of things will you can move your kundalini yourself. And that's all well and good. I do some of those practices every day. But CAP is truly unique in that it is a surrender-based practice. It's the path of surrender, not the path of will. So the difference between that is sort of like the difference between like a will-based would be like giving yourself a massage, which, you know, I can, if you give me a corner, especially of a door, I can really give myself a good self-massage. Like it would be nice, but it pales in comparison to what it is to lay down, have somebody else come and have be able to just completely relax and like drool as they, you know, intuitively do it for me. And that is what surrender feels like, as opposed to like needing it or holding your hands out for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's almost like we had to go through those will-based practices to even get consciousness to this place where now we can just drop into a state. And you know, it's all really, I think everything is energy work. I started to realize that, like even yoga, even a lot of things that are really physical or really just about exhausting the body to a certain point that your energy shifts. We're all practices are looking for that change internally. That's when the rubber meets the road. Even artistically, creatively, there's like these zones you can fall into artistically, and we're all kind of looking for that special place that's kind of undefined. And so CAP is really hard to talk about because that's all it is. There's nothing to do, and that can really throw people off because we come from this society, this male-dominated society, where we're so wrapped up in what we produce and what we do and getting the gold star and all of that. And there's none of that in CAP. Your only job is to lay back and just receive. And that in of itself is a lesson and a practice and has shaped my life. So I'll stop there because there's a lot I've already said.
So good. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, like growing up, energy, that word was not a part of my vocabulary. I had no conscious connection to the unseen realms and to spirituality and energy. And I very much thought that all that exists is just what you can see and touch and feel with your physical body. And the first CAP class I went to, it was in New York City. And that was, I think, one of the first times I was in a space where people's bodies were moving spontaneously in these like undulating spirals, and like this woman, the CAP facilitator, is not touching anyone, and yet people's bodies are fully moving up and down and they're going into these full body activations. And it was so powerful. And it's also fascinating because in so many countries that still have a deep, or so many cultures that still have a connection to like their indigenous roots and ancient practices, like having a spontaneous energy activation is not seen as anything out of the ordinary. It's completely normal and accepted. So what was that like for you? Maybe the first time that you were exposed to energy work?
I mean, the thing is, you have these glimpses, right? These glimmers throughout your life of dropping into these states, because CAP is really two energy forces entwined. It's two ancient ones. It's the Kundalini energy, and then it's actually a type of consciousness called non-duality, which is non-dual Latin. It's not two. So it's that universal oneness, non-dual, not two. So it's everything. It's that part of the figure eight where everything comes together. You know what I mean? And everything is one. And that I felt before. A lot of people have felt that before. Just a glimmer of it in your life where you just mm-hmm. realize, like for me, it would happen when I would go hiking in nature mm-hmm. often. When I lived in LA and I'd hike up to the top of a big mountain, and I'd get to the top and I'd be like, I'm everything. I'm the birds, I'm the trees, I'm the sun. And like that feeling, I knew it, but it was very fleeting, and it's almost like rare. And you know, that's why I think so many people, you know, do drugs or find ways where they're trying to get to that sensation. But really it's not outside. It's like in, like there, you have a tunnel inside of you that will bring you there. And I feel like CAP takes you right to that point. And so the first time I went into a CAP class, I was like, oh, I like Kundalini yoga. You know, I love Kundalini energy. This seems crazy and wild and fun, and let me try it. Cause if you look at videos of people doing CAP online, this can be a lot of spontaneous movement, like you were talking about. But it also can be really still. There can be a really inward journey. There can be a third eye activation where you're seeing visions and landscapes, almost like a full body, like a full on psilocybin, you know, or ayahuasca trip. Like it's right in there. You know what I mean? It depends on the person and on the day, because CAP is different in each person, each time that they do it, because mm-hmm. we're different. And so for me, my first experiences with CAP were really a lot of emotional catharsis, a lot of like offloading and untwining just from my soma, just from my body, just finally feeling safe and finally being able to just like offload. And that's really what Kundalini energy is really amazing for, is that it'll go in as it like, because CAP is actually descending energy, which is a lot different than the ascending energy of Kundalini awakening that some people confuse it with or think that that's what we're doing. Nobody can do that. That can take lifetimes. Mm-hmm. But what CAP does is it brings the energy down from the crown to the root. And then sometimes it'll move up in a two-way circuit. But it's definitely clearing blockages. And I don't really like the word blockages, actually, because I feel like block implies like, you know, fighting or aggression or a wall. And it's not really that. It's more like knots. I like the word energetic knots, because a knot kind of implies like if you have some patience and some time, you know what I mean? And some gentleness, you know, you can massage that thing open. And that is really more of what it is. And it just kind of depends on, you know, that particular day I had knots that were ready to be unlocked. And I remember at the time I was working in the entertainment industry, and I had this really masculine presenting job, like just a really tough, hard job. And my whole right side was locked up. I had like TMJ on my right side. My right shoulder was like, had frozen shoulder on my right shoulder. Like my masculine side was just jacked, right? And I remember going into the session and feeling the emotional catharsis, and then feeling like my shoulder moving without me knowing it. And it's not like a possession. It's just more of a, your brain, your body leads. It's like your brain catches up to the fact that you're moving, which is an odd sensation, you know?
Yeah.
But yet familiar, you know, like, oh, cause there's lots of times where that will happen. Like that's really when, like, you know, sports, like, you know, people, you know, amazing sports artists and players and things, like they reach that state too, where it's like pre-thought. And that's what started to happen. And then my jaw started moving like so fast, faster than I could ever move it on my own consciously. And it wasn't until later on, maybe like a month later, I went to physical therapy for something else. And they hooked me up to a machine that basically did that with that muscle. And I was like, oh, wow, my body was just naturally healing the T&J on its own. And so that's really what CAP does almost initially, is it just kind of like clears things out and heals you to a point so that you can start to drop into some deeper non-duality states. So it really does look different on different people, just depending on where they are. And it always will surprise you. Like just when you think like, oh, I know what CAP is, like it, no, there will be something. And that's why it's so illuminating and fun, and it's non-addicting as opposed to like, you know, plant medicine has a lot of the same qualities CAP does. And I love plant medicine. I have a lot of respect for it. I also facilitate psilocybin ceremonies with sound healing. But I don't know, with CAP, it's like there's nothing external to point to think like, oh, it's because of that thing that I'm having this experience. Like there's nothing. Like we don't take anything. You don't breathe funny. You don't move funny. You know, you just literally realize that the amount of magic that your body is capable of, it can be almost overwhelming and sometimes hard for people to believe or that it's kind of scared or, you know, because this energy, Kundalini energy, feminine, it's a very feminine energy. It's been demonized really since femininity has been demonized. It's been demonized. So, you know, you can meet people who are actually afraid, you know, to let go, to truly trust themselves. And it's common, but well, not that common, but you know what I mean? But it's also something that the second that people do it, you realize that it's like, it's God, it's true. It's nothing nefarious or scary, or it's the opposite. It's coming home to oneself, a part of ourselves that we really need to connect to, I feel like. And it's like in the work that you're doing, it also cultivates that feminine Kundalini energy.
Yeah. Incredible. Oh, so well said. And as you're speaking, like what comes up for me is like, I just feel so many connections between everything you're saying and also like the work that I do around pleasure and orgasm and intimacy and sexuality, because so much of it is trust and surrender, and also trusting in the intelligence of your body and your life force energy that's flowing through you. And like, how much more can we let go of that grasping need to control with the mind and just fully open to how this wants to be expressed through us, you know? And I love the image that you painted earlier in the conversation around how CAP is kind of like getting a massage in a way. And yes, we can do it to ourselves. And also something so beautiful about CAP is it has this relational quality. And I feel like humans, there's so much that we can do on our own in solo practice. And also, can we open to receive the gifts and the nourishment and the interconnection that we're supposed to be experiencing as humans by working with a trained facilitator, you know? So not necessarily thinking that you experiencing these states of bliss and healing and release are dependent on the facilitator, but being open to surrender and receive and be worked through by the consciousness of this beautiful energy.
Yes. I think it was Bell Hooks who talked about healing in community and how important it is, and how just it's just very powerful. And probably one of the greatest gifts or experiences I've ever had with CAP, and I still have it with CAP. You know, it's 4 or 5 years now of me receiving and now facilitating the energy. Is one of the best gifts is the connection to my ancestors. I remember it wasn't that long. It probably had to be like the fifth or sixth session. Because another thing about CAP is like the first time you do it, it can take like a while for your body to just relax, for you just to realize truly that simple, for you to stop trying to find, like wondering if it's CAP. And so even just from the second time you start doing CAP, it almost picks up where it leaves off the first time, you know? And so it's like it compounds and it builds. And so by that fifth or sixth time, as soon as like the music started and I was on the mat, it was like immediately I felt like all of this just support. I'm getting chills just thinking about
Me
it right
too.
Now. Ancestrally, the support was coming in, whether you call it angels or guides, or I call it ancestors, but that's just from my background. But I felt them right away, and it was a group. And I felt them so much that it felt like they were holding my hand. and holding my whole left arm and hand, like several people, to the point where I was like, I have to look. Cause like, it felt like literally someone was holding my hand. And so I opened my eyes a little bit. I looked, nothing's there. Close my eyes, immediately it's right there again. And I'm just like, oh my God, like this is, I know that the sun shines. I know that there are positive entities around us, cheering us on, shaping our steps, rooting for us, creating opportunities, moving things so we don't get hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I know that because I've experienced it in my body. And so you, how do you even put a price on that? Or you know what I mean? Or it's changed the way that I view life. Like, I know I'm not doing it alone. And I know that there's a greater path, and I need to surrender to that path, and that the thinking mind is a wonderful tool, but a horrible master. And we are so conditioned and indoctrinated really through school as children to really only listen to the neofrontal cortex, that rational part of our brain, but it's the most babyest part of our brain. It's the last to arrive. That brainstem, the limbic system, like all of our emotional body, like all of that is way more ancient. And, you know, just to be able to have balance, you know, and be able not to say that we don't need the neurofrontal cortex and we don't need our egoic mind. There's certainly perfect situations where I call upon that. You know what I mean? But it's not everything. And I think that we just get caught in that mode where we think we know better. But of course we don't. You know, and even if you don't believe in ancestors or angels or guides, like there's your subconscious mind. Like you at least like science, you have a subconscious mind and it knows way more than your conscious mind can possibly know. And so even if you just think of it on that level, you know, you're really just dropping into, you're surrendering to something greater than yourself. And that's a beautiful thing to do.
Wow. Yeah. So many chills as you're speaking. And so we talked about like these elements of trust and surrender and presence and letting go during the CAP experience. And if someone like, or let me phrase it this way, what qualities about a person have you seen have really helped them to be able to receive CAP or energy that they're trying to connect to, like someone who's trying to become more sensitized to feel any energy at all? Maybe they've been carrying a lot of density.
Yes, that's such a good question. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that. And I love that because there's a lot of people have asked about how to do CAP.
Yeah.
There's not really, I don't know if I would call it a personality trait. It's more of just like a readiness. Because sometimes people who have done a lot of work who come in, they're like, oh, I'm going to CAP so good. I'm going to be the one that like this, they can struggle sometimes because they have these expectations on themselves. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the person that like the guy that's there because like his girlfriend drug him there and he's kind of looking at me like, this is all bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, but he lays down and has like a full Kundalini awakening because like he has nothing on, he has no, you know what I mean? He's not,
yeah.
It kind of has to sneak up on you. just sort of like, you know, we talked about plant medicine in the same way that if you, you know, take psilocybin, if you take plant medicine and you're like waiting for it to happen, it won't happen. It's, you kind of have to do something else, forget you took it. Then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you know, that's what that this is.
Familiar with that moment. Yeah. Hello.
It's the same thing with CAP. It's like, you almost have to. So, and that is is it a skill? Is it a personality trait? I don't think it's a personality trait. I think it might just be something that you practice, something you get used to. Mm-hmm. Because what it translates into off of the mat, into your everyday life is like stressors come, this, that, and you can just go like, you know what? I acquiesce. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to stress about that. Like my life force energy is not going to be used up trying to control that situation. I'm just going to use my life force energy to be completely present so that I can respond to whatever opportunities there are to best utilize the situation to my, you know what I mean? To the advantage of myself and everyone else. And just that shift of like trying to meddle in everything, it collects your energy back where it kind of belongs. And you're just sort of in a seat of power. And then the decisions that you make are better. I don't know how to put it into words. Like, first of all, you see and hear more and realize more. You see, I used to see opportunities for me that I wouldn't necessarily have seen before. I you know what I mean? Like, it's like you just see more because your energy isn't all like in everyone else and everything else. That's kind of, I hope that answers your question a bit.
Totally.
Yeah, answer.
I love that. Yeah. And it's so funny how I love when you said like the people who are going in, like, I'm going to do CAP so good. And it's still like, not that there's anything wrong with this, but it's coming from this mindset of like doing and or forcing or trying to obtain something and make something happen, which if that has been the energy that we have been operating in and surrounded by for an entire lifetime, which I know is the case for many people, especially in the US and where I was raised, like it can be really challenging and such a mind fuck to like shift your way out of that and truly be receptive. And the thing is, in my experience, you can't think your way there. It's not this process that you like make it happen or analyze your way there. It truly is like this on a somatic and energetic level, this like settling into yourself and melting into yourself and this beingness, which, like you said, it's a practice, a lifelong practice.
It is. And CAP is the only thing I've found that cultivates that skill of being able to melt into yourself. You said that so beautifully. That cultivates that like a muscle that actually builds like the ability and resilience, like practice. You practice it on the mat so that way when you're, you know, in your conscious, you know, beta state, you can do it. Like it just becomes easier and easier. And yeah, you absolutely can't think that the conscious mind can't hang. That's another thing I like about CAP. Eventually, everybody drops into the CAP state. It may take a couple of sessions, you know, for someone really, you know, who's really looking for the answer. And of course, like, you know, you were saying, it's all of Western culture. And I'll go farther. I think it's all of male-dominated culture. I think we've overdone it for the last couple hundred years in the masculinity department. Not that the masculine energy isn't great and powerful, but when it's not balanced with feminine energy, it becomes all about like obtaining. And so you have people, something that I dislike about the spiritual community is that it can be very extraction based and very, which, you know, gives off like white supremacy and like, you know, and patriarchy, because it's very much like, what can I get? You're reading this book, but you're reading it for like, what's this one thing that I need so that I can be, it's like, there's a hunger. There's like this insatiability of never feeling. And then you miss the healing because you're so busy looking for it, you know? And it's like, I want to be like, it's easier than that. It's easier than that. And like, I say this, also having those tendencies, like, you know, even before this call when we were talking, I was saying like, all these things are swirling around me. I'm getting pulled in all these beautiful directions. And, but like there, but because of all the CAP, there's also this small voice that's going like, but maybe that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, can you surrender to the swirl, you know, to the pull in different directions? Like you can always surrender. You can always give it up to God or something else or your subconscious mind or whatever you want to call it. You can always have room to co-collaborate instead of trying to micro control. And even people who say like, oh, I have really big control issues. I'm like, well, this will be really good for you then, because you know what I mean? Because when you go into something like this, you cannot control CAP. It won't happen if you try to control it. So it literally forces you to turn that part of your brain off. And eventually, like I said, in every single person, the ego will eventually sit down and just shut up because it doesn't have anything to cling to.
Yes.
It'll stop for a while. And then eventually it'll just go like, and then relaxes and people are like, oh, ego. Like, yeah, I'm just
Yeah. And that could be so trippy for people, like, because if your ego and your like construct of who you are as a human in this world, if that has been your only sense of identity throughout your whole lifetime, and that's your whole sense of self and perception of reality, like to fully let that go, that's why we call it the ego death, right? It feels like almost dying because you're surrendering your whole construct of how you think the world works and who you are. And we can have so much attachment to that. And that's like our sense of safety and security is attaching to that at all costs. But in my experience, whether it's through like plant medicine or breath work or energy healing or tantra embodiment practices, like it allows you to reconnect with like that core essence within yourself that is untouchable and ever present, whether you call it soul, spirit, essence, truth, higher self, it lets you reconnect with that. And once you meet that and then you integrate that experience into your life, you have this like zoomed out perspective. And that's not to say that you're never going to get sucked into like stress and overwhelm ever again, but it allows you to almost like shape shift and stay anchored and centered in that sense of, I know what I am at my core is this untouchable essence, and what I'm navigating right now or feeling right now isn't me. It's something that's passing through me and that I'm experiencing.
I love everything you just said. It makes me cry just because it's like, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful we get to have this life and
yes,
have energy move through us in this way. And you also used a word I really love regarding CAP. You talked about being able to integrate it into your life. And that's one of the things about other practices that kind of are more jarring. What I love about CAP is it's really subtle. It doesn't snatch your ego away from you the way that other things will. Like certain plant medicines will just literally, ayahuasca will just take it. You know what I mean? You sometimes just feel like snapped by the back of your collar and you're kind of just, and that can be, I mean, and you know, that's why you have people who almost, I don't want to say get addicted to it, but they get addicted to, they don't actually improve. Like that's my thing. It's just like, if you're having experiences in these ceremonies and you go out and there, you're still a dick. You know what I mean? You're still, you know, you're still like, you know, perpetuating a lot of these harms going forward that you've experienced, you know, your trauma is still spilling out all over the place. You know, how much have you healed? Like, is it really working then? Or are you just in love with getting beat up? You know what I mean? Or confronting yourself and not actually changing. And so what I like about CAP is it's like, it's just your high, it's just you. Mm-hmm. So it's, how do I put it into words? It's always just the right amount. It's always the perfect dosage. You don't have to worry about somebody messing up the dosage or what you ate. Like, it's always the perfect amount for you to be able to integrate and process. Because mm-hmm. what we don't integrate just becomes another type of overwhelm or trauma in a sense. You know what I mean? And it can be almost re-traumatizing sometimes. That's why you have to be careful with plant medicine and who's administering it and their training and all of that. Because, you know, it can do harm. But whereas CAP, like no one can ever, you know, no one's ever had a bad trip on CAP. You know, you mm-hmm. might be confronted with some hard truths, but they're truths that you clearly want. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. It's just different. It's always exactly what people need. I can't tell you how many people look up after a session and say like, this matches exactly what I'm going on in my life. Or that song that you had in there, was it like exactly what was happening? Like their mother, their grandmother, you know, came to them and in the spiritual realm. And then the song came on about grandmother. Like there's always these really crazy synchronicities that it's like clearly, and they look at it like it's me. And I'm looking back at them like, nope, it's not me. Like it's something in between us. There's something that we can't see that's really just kind of guiding. There's something that really is very, very beautiful and subtle with CAP energy that it can almost be more, it's more accessible than I think, than people who, not everybody wants to have a plant medicine experience where you get throttled. And so CAP is a great alternative to that, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that was my experience as well. And again, it comes back to like trusting the intelligence of this energy and also of yourself and your own body, and that only as much as you can currently handle and your own current capacity is what you're going to experience in the session. And whether it's like your own personal experience or just different clients or students that you've worked with, what have you seen people do or navigate in order to ground their experience back into their bodies and their life and have that integration process? Like, how do they really allow it to live on in their own lives?
That's another really great question. You ask amazing questions, just so you know.
Thank you.
Well, I take a lot of care after CAP for the people I do CAP with, whether it's virtual or in person. I give a full 2-minute Shavasana after CAP. A lot of people will, you know, wait 20 seconds and then jump into bringing people back. I let people hang out for a full 2 minutes after the music stopped, after I've stopped capping, just to be with themselves, because I feel mm-hmm. like that's the first step of integration. It's just a sort of silent meditation, a Shavasana. It's actually the point where everything, you know, integrates, and it's very important. And then I very slowly bring people back into their body with really very slow guided a meditation just to feel the air on their skin, their clothes resting on their body, becoming aware of the love that they have for themselves, the gratitude that they have for themselves, and then letting people slowly start to move into their body and stretch whatever they need to. And by the time we sit up, it's been a whole, you know, five, almost 10 minutes since we stopped. And sometimes a lot of people will still be in the energy. Some people will still very much still be feeling the energy churning in them. And I always give the opportunity for people to share reflections. And I know that that can be cringe for some people because, you know, right? Like to try to put words to something so wordless is a challenge. But, you know, science and, you know, what we know about neurology is what we know a lot about the brain is that just the act of attempting to put into words something so ethereal will like help the memory last in the mind. It will help your body literally integrate it just by saying not, even if it doesn't make sense to anyone else, like just the act of the person attempting to put it into words deepens the experience. And so that's one way I get people, or that I've seen people really embody the experience, is just kind of stumbling through some of it. Some other people really like to journal after a session. So I encourage journaling. I encourage meditation. I've had a lot of clients that could never meditate. They came into CAP being like, yeah, I can never meditate. It never works for me. I've never been able to have a meditation practice. And then literally the night after CAP, they're able to meditate. They're able to drop into those states. That door is sort of much more open. You're kind of in that place of surrender already. And so I encourage people to do things, go slowly. I encourage people to be in nature. You know, ecotherapy is real. And it's one of the few things that actually cures, you know, energetic, you know, overwhelm, you know, when you have gone through something traumatic, like a plant medicine ceremony that's been too strong, or just anything, you know, or just getting into nature, like don't sleep on that. Like that is the OG of all healing modalities. Go sit under a tree for 20 minutes, an hour. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Go get barefoot on the ground. And I know that that's not accessible to every person everywhere, depending on weather or just even like, you know, economic, you know, where you are. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why. And it's very sad where people don't have access to that. I live somewhere, as you know, where that's readily available. I think because I knew I needed to ground this work in myself, even because holding this space is a lot. And my own work and my own development is a lot. And so knowing that I can go into nature is always really helpful. So those are just a few things right there. Speaking it aloud, meditating, breath work is also great. You know, the stuff that we're supposed to be doing, the stuff that like you lie down and you know the stuff you're supposed to do that makes you better, that makes you feel better. Doing those things, creativity, art, painting, sex is great. After CAP, all those things prolong the energy and kind of keep it around in your system a lot longer because you're being authentic. It's almost like the energy wants you to be authentic. And the second you start to do things that are inauthentic, when you start to compare yourself to others. So I recommend not a lot of social media, unless you have a hell of a feed, unless you have curated that mama jamma down to where you're only getting like really great, you know, input. You know, that kind of, you know, trash scrolling is exactly the kind of thing that would kind of pull you away from the energy. Eating really, really heavy meals that are kind of too heavy for your system to digest all at once will just take the energy from out, you know, from this kind of magical place to like where it just has to focus on processing what you just consumed. You know, alcohol will take you out a little bit. You know, some people like to have a glass of wine. I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, tell you your life, you know, but what to do with your life. But you want the energy to last longer, you know, alcohol does numb your ability to feel. So yeah, knowing those things, it's also what you don't do after CAP that keeps the energy around as well.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love how you say like, it's all the things you're supposed to do. Everything that our ancestors did that kept them alive and well and healthy and connected to themselves and nature. Do that. And I know, yes. I know you have so much wisdom to share around manifestation. I'm curious, like how has your deepened connection to energy and the energetic realms impacted your process of manifestation, and any other tips or wisdom you have around that?
Oh my God, that's such a great question too. I think about my manifestation journey and like how I started with really masculine approaches with like, you know, remember The Secret when that was like big and like everyone was like, oh, I'm gonna like bully my mind into believing something, you know, like I don't want to say bully, but you know,
yeah,
we kind of take something as beautiful and as ethereal and as feminine as manifestation, and we still try to masculinize it and control it. And man, if I write it out this many times, I can convince myself of this, or I want X amount of dollars and that's it. And it's like, no, you know, manifestation to me is really a co-collaboration with the universe. When I'm manifesting at the deepest level, it is not just about me and my small ego. It's more about larger purpose of my life. And it's more of a surrender. Again, the feminine energy surrenders. It's more of a surrender to my highest timeline, my highest self. And that just so happens to also be what's best for me. You know what I mean? But it's almost like that's not even the main intention. It's just a kind of a part of it. It's not the whole thing, because that's not all I am. It's just me. I'm also you and you, whoever out there, and you. It's like tapping into that universal, that non-duality. So yeah, doing CAP really changed just the ease of which I manifested. I used to manifest from more masculine traditional ways, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And it was a lot of work. You know, I would manifest some things, but it would be, my hand would be tired, you know, and like, it was work. It was like, I had to spend a lot of time. And then a lot of times the things that I would manifest wouldn't necessarily be actually what I wanted when I got them. It'd be a little bit like, you know, it was like it's a type of energy play to bring something towards you. But if it's not really in alignment for you, it's not gonna do the thing you want it to do. So what I do now is I much more resonate with what the energy frequency that I want to bring in. Mm-hmm. And I just align, I say, how can I be in service of that, you know? And I do visualize. Visualization is a big part of my practice, and that can get specific, but it's also like I'm not attached to it. When I first learned visualization techniques before I worked with the Yoruba priestesses, it was like visualizing like this, like, you know, like
like squeezing it out of you.
Yeah. Get out of me. And again, coming from this more of this like control, like it needs to be exactly this. The man has to look at you can that's that way if you want to, but that's a lot of work. That's all I have to say. Like, I feel like I manifest now through orgasms, you know what I mean? Like, it can be whatever you make it, honey, because like we are the magic. So it's like whatever you say. So if you want to manifest that way and squeeze and to get like a drop of something, or you can literally have orgasms and just the way I visualize now, it's more like a daydream. It's like I can forget. Like sometimes things will happen, I'll be like, oh yeah, I did visualize that. I don't even remember what I visualized, because it's like it felt so good in the moment. I don't even almost need it to be in this 3D realm, because I just got so much out of it in the 5D. It's kind of like, if it happens, it happens. Like that is an important part of how you manifest, when you don't need to have a white knuckle grip on the mama jamma. In general, white knuckle, like gripping, because I started studying somatic therapy right after I got my CAP certification, because I was like, what the F is happening in these sessions? Like, I need more like words, more language around what's happening in the body, because people were asking me, and I love spirituality, but a lot of times it can be kind of annoying at a certain point, where it just kind of goes like, oh, you don't need to know. You know, like eventually a lot of spiritual practice, and that's how CAP is too. It's like, because you don't need to know. The truth is, you don't need to know in order for it to like affect your life and work. But that said, like, it helps a lot of people to like know a little bit more, so that they can relax. And I just feel like science is finally starting to catch up to all spirituality and mystics and what mystics have been teaching for thousands of years. So we might as well utilize that knowledge too, in conjunction. And so I've been training with like Embody Lab. They're amazing and really incredible somatic therapists, Dr. Peter Levine, like just behemoths in the field. And so much of what I'm learning about working through the body to heal trauma in a psychiatric situation is, again, it's that same surrender, like that kind of force yourself to heal or to let go of that trauma or to like be past that memory or to change or to shift your habits. That force is just, it does not help at all. Like that need, that bullying of self, it is counterintuitive. The second that you can just support whatever is happening and be okay with wherever you are in the process and love yourself wherever you are in the process and say like, we're going to work on this, but I accept you exactly where you are right now. It's like a part of you, that deep part of you that you were talking about. It just goes, you know, it just relaxes. And it's through that relaxation that everything happens. Nothing can kind of happen when we're gripped. We kind of have to find a place where we can relax for anything to change. That's what I've seen.
I'm dropping in really quick to let you know that I'm offering a completely free 7-day erotic awakening course called Living Sensuality that you can dive into at any time. Hundreds of people literally have now been through this beautiful 7-day program that guides you through simple yet highly effective 10-minute practices that you can fit into any busy lifestyle and keep coming back to again and again. These powerful explorations will start to ignite your juiciest sensuality, create inner safety in states of pleasure and self-intimacy, become more present and connected to your own body, and bring your innate eroticism and turn on back to life. I found that if you want to live a life of more pleasure and more connection, then that requires intentionally spending more time in pleasure and connection and actually making it a priority. Just like creating space in your life for going to the gym or learning a new language or improving a certain skill set, pleasure and sexuality are also skills that we must actively strengthen if we say we want to experience what's truly available to us within these realms. Living Sensuality makes this so easy and so accessible with juicy practices that, again, are only 10 minutes because I wanted to make sure that you receive the best of the best minus the fluff. So go to bloomwithnadine.com/living sensuality to get started for free today and join the movement of erotic liberation and ancestral healing. Now back to the episode.
Everything that you just shared tends to be the theme for a lot of things. Like when we loosen that grip a little bit and trust and relax, that's when so many things happen. Like the manifestations, the orgasm, the sexual fluidity, the emotional connection, deeper levels of intimacy, reconnecting with your own power. Like we can be holding on to intergenerationally so much tension and contraction and tightness, which is just sending signals throughout our whole body of like danger, 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 protect yourself at all costs. And so much of it can be unconscious. And yeah, like when I was first introduced to even the word like manifestation, like a lot of the teachings that I was first exposed to, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but now looking back, so much of it was deeply rooted in rigidity and also fear. And it was like, if I don't write down exactly what I want 333 times, like whatever it is, at 3:33 a.m. every single day, then I'm not going to get the manifestation. You know, it's just like these crazy, I don't know, fear-based rituals and rigidity. And like, what if manifestation got to be fun and pleasurable and joyful? And for me, like, there's a lot of different elements, but one of them is like giving yourself permission to claim what you truly want. So many people are so terrified of that, like the bigness of their desires and like really getting crystal clear on what you want without necessarily attaching to it or convincing yourself that you need it. But can you let yourself want it while also being in the energy and the vibration of gratitude at the same time, which is a dance? It's like holding the vision, holding the dream, holding the desire while also being rooted in gratitude and acceptance and loving life exactly as it is, or at least accepting life exactly as it is.
Absolutely. It's that like almost paradox that true manifestation happens. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you use the word desire. I'm so glad that you're not afraid of the word desire. And it's funny because like actually Dale Carnage, I can never say his last name, Carnegie, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, like probably one of the original manifestos of like manifestation. He talks about desire and people sleep on it, even though it's like the first thing, like the main thing that he talks about driving things is desire. And mm-hmm. and I feel like because of the times, people just kind of like to gloss over that part, but it really is just okay to like allow yourself to want things. And for me, I used to hold a lot of guilt around wanting success or even having the success that I have, this fear of leaving people behind. It was intergenerational for me. Part of it is because of I'm in a racialized body, you know what I mean? And just like feeling like I'm leaving behind people, or that I shouldn't be experiencing things that other people can't have, that I somehow need to break it up into tiny a million pieces and share it with every single other person before I can enjoy my peace. And it's like, it's through kind of that surrender process where I finally learned, and honestly moving to Puerto Viejo, Costa Rica, which I was, that was because of CAP 100%. At the time I was just a student, but I was like a big student of CAP. I was receiving often, and I got to a point where I was just full on, like that ancestral connection got to a point where it was like we were having conversation, you know what I mean? Like I was getting very clear signals. It was almost like things, like certain things would just glow, like certain emails would just glow, certain people would just, I would just know, like, I'm supposed to like do something with this, you know? And like, I like took that leap so many times that I just trusted it almost unconsciously. And when that energy started being like pulling me to Puerto Viejo, even though I'd never been there and I didn't know anyone, and I was like, all right, gonna go, and like just sold all my stuff in LA, like literally sold it all, gave it away, and went to Puerto Viejo with just like two suitcases, a carry-on, and a backpack, and was like, okay, I've come to for this, you know. I was immediately met with like the opportunity basically within, I think, 6 months. I found myself doing the CAP training, and it's a very expensive training, both energetically and also financially. And I thought that it was something I would do maybe in my 50s or 60s when I, you know, had some extra, you know what I mean? But no, it all just manifested. Everything just manifested. And then I knew it was for me because it, like, when I heard about the training, it was in Costa Rica, but it was on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really in Costa Rica? I don't even have to get on a plane. I just have to like go to San Jose, and then they have like a chartered jet that's going to take us to the little place over there. I was like, I'm supposed to do this. And I had the right amount of money, you know what I mean? Everything was there. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this training. And I'm just so glad that, like, all I can say is like, the more you trust and take those steps, the more appears, the more that is shown and is given. And it's not that you don't ever have doubts or fears or creep back into those, you know, smaller places. It's just that I'm not scared of it when I do that anymore. I recognize that as part of the process of growth, that I'll expand and then there'll be like some fear and contraction, and I don't put any weight on it. I look at it like I look at flies dancing in the breeze. Like, I don't know, just with not it's very kind of arbitrary, and like I'm just sort of like, I know it's gonna, I'm not worried about every little thing because it's not just me doing everything. I'm trusting my intuition so much more. And I think that's also part of manifestation too, is like there's a trust that you mentioned that I really liked too.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I love so much that such a thread throughout this whole conversation is, like you just said, it's not just me. Even like if physically you're in solitude, there are so many forces of nature and support in the unseen realms that we can lean on and that are supporting us at all times. And it's been the biggest gift of my whole lifetime to experience this homecoming of this truth that deep down I always knew, even though when I was being raised, I wasn't consciously connected to that. But yeah, it's a worthwhile endeavor in my experience to come back to stillness, come back to your heart, come back to that untouchable core soul essence within you. And remember that whatever you're trying to call into your life, whatever you're trying to obtain or achieve, all of those qualities are frequencies that we can always tap into. Even if it doesn't look like your external reality automatically transforming into the thing that you're so badly wanting. But if you think of it as a frequency that you can attune to and tap into whenever you want, it makes life so much more meaningful and alive and vivid and magical and also empowering, because you're like, damn, I can just be walking down the street in wherever place and tap into this quality that previously I thought was outside of myself, or that someone needed to give me permission to get. No, it's already here. We're swimming in it.
That part, when you become connected with all things, that universality, that non-duality, you realize that nothing is outside of you. And so there's no need for envy or fear or jealousy. It's like, it's you know, all of those things are just misuse of energy. You can choose to use them that way, but it's just, it's artifice. It's not real. You know, I forget where I heard this, or maybe I made it up. I can't remember. I think maybe a friend asked me, like, what do you believe spiritual? Like, what do you think happens when we die? Like, someone asked me that one time. And I think I said something along the lines of, I think that we all either have been, will be, or currently are each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess with quantum physics, we would say it's all three at the same time, right? That like, I've been exactly you, you've been me. I've been the person that's, you know, hitting me. I've been the person that's, you know, I've been like, you've been all of the things. Like, we are all just that part of us that belongs to the one consciousness. It just sort of, you can lean into that. Like, that's something we lean into. And it's a very magical place. It's a very purifying place too. Because we used to also be afraid, like, what if I become powerful and I end up becoming evil somehow and doing harm unbeknownst to my, you know what I mean? And now I kind of laugh at like my younger self who was afraid of my own power, because I know that the heart of me, like I've met myself, you know what I mean? And I know that the core of me is good and beautiful and pure. And so it's like, I also trust myself more. I trust my instincts more. I don't worry that they're coming from a bad place. I don't see things as bad or good anymore. I just see them more of like, is it aligned or is it unaligned?
Yes.
What I'm supposed to be doing for the higher consciousness of everyone, or I'm not supposed to be doing for the higher consciousness of everyone. Like, it's that, it gets kind of boiled down to a place where I don't have to stress about the small things. I can just kind of beep, 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 beep along.
Yes. And you so embody that and like exude it just from your beingness. Like, I don't say this lightly, like, you are one of the most vibrant people I've ever encountered, like so much radiance and aliveness. So thank you so much for the medicine and the wisdom and the beautiful work and play and everything that you're sharing with the world. I want to be conscious of your time. I know you have to hop off soon, but before we go into how people can find you and work with you and all that good stuff, is there anything else that maybe you wish I asked you, or anything else that you want to express?
Just that we should collaborate in the future.
I know.
Before I found Cap, one of the things I found was a sensuality practice called S Factor. Sheila Kelly's S Factor in LA. And yeah, it's dance. It's true dance. And it includes a pole, but it's like, it's deeper than even just what a lot of pole studios stop at, just sort of the physical tricks or the, you know, getting it right in the mirror. Like in S Factor, there were no mirrors. It's really about letting your soul come through your body, through movement, and through sensuality. And that really opened me up. Like, that opened up my lower chakras, like, majorly, to a point where I could lay down in a CAP class, you know, in the first session and have the experience I had. Like, it all kind of goes hand in hand. And now that I'm, you know, I've just got my first person that I was a student, that's now a facilitator here in PV. So a part of me is kind of going like, okay, I can take a break. Like, me not offering it here doesn't mean that there won't be CAP here. Whereas there was always this kind of pressure before, because I was the only facilitator in this like area. And now there's another that lives here. And so I'm kind of in this place now where I'm like, okay, well, I can feel the universe already pushing me into different directions. And like, some of it is about looping back to that, like coming back to some of those sensuality practices, and with the lens now and the experience of CAP in my body so much now, and seeing how it's changed. And so, yeah, I want people to know to stay tuned for that. And that's something that I definitely would love to explore with you, Nadine, whenever you come visit, or maybe we'll do something online. But yes. Yeah, I'm really moved by your clearness and your boldness and your lack of your honesty around sensuality and sensual practices. It's really refreshing and exciting to see more and more women step forward and like really claim this as like, this is not something we have to be ashamed of, you know? Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I feel so seen. Oh my God. Thank you so much. And it's been a freaking journey. Like, even to say out loud, like, I am a sex and intimacy coach and educator. Like, it was a whole journey, even just to let myself be seen in that. So thank you for, yeah, all of those beautiful reflections. I appreciate you so much and would love to collaborate. But if people are listening and they're like, I need more Jamila in my life, how can they find you and work with you and all the things?
One of the best ways is I have a website called JamilaCreates.com, and the / energy alchemy is a great way to find everything with Kat. Also, there's Instagram, and that's at Jamila Creates. You can find the link there to that through my Instagram, and I post a lot about Kat there. Kind of like you were saying, it took me a while to feel like, okay, I'm going to be a full woo-woo energy person now. Always kind of turning that in the background. It was very much like, you know, not something that I put on Instagram, for instance. And now it's just like, I got to a point with Cap, or just right when I got to finish the training, honestly, I was like, God will be mad if I don't like, you know, this is not for me to hold on to. Like, I can't have knowledge and ability and be able to create these spaces and not do it just because I'm worried what my filmmaker friends are going to think about me going to woo woo. And so I had to just really have another ego death yet again. Of just kind of shedding this idea that like my creativity and my spirituality are separate. For a long time, I thought that they were separate, and I thought I had to choose, and I had to be one way in one place and one way in another place. And now I very much see them as the same energy. Like, when I'm in my most creative state, it is a spiritual state, and vice versa, you know? So more on that later. But yeah, Jamila Creates at Instagram is the best. And my website, those are the two best.
Beautiful. Oh my God. Thank you so much, Jamila. I'm going to have all of those links available in the show notes. So definitely check out her work. And Jamila, I see you and honor you and just adore you. And I can feel that like what you've been birthing into the world and will continue to birth into the world is so much bigger than you. And I can feel that you feel that yourself, and you're letting yourself almost get out of the way and just let it channel through you. So thank you for being the channel that you are.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.